you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. Now, I'm sure that you're asking yourself, what is this horrible accent? And why does Maggie sound like a man? There's something very strange going on here. Yes, the show has been infiltrated by the Aussie. That's right. My name's Sean. I am just filling in for Maggie very briefly while she gets rid of those gremlins out of her computer at the present time. What happens is she was just about to go to air and she is having me on as a guest. And unfortunately, all of a sudden, her microphone decided not to work. So what she's doing is she is rebooting her computer. And with a bit of luck, we will be able to bring Maggie back in as soon as she messages me. So once she messages me, I will bring her back into the studio. And hopefully, there won't be any teething problems. Otherwise, you might have to put up with little old me, eh? What is it they say, that the grass is always greener over the other side of the hill and that there's always gold at the end of the rainbow? Well, I'm that gold and I'm the greener grass. I'm sure that Maggie's going to spank me for saying that one. Now, just to hold off a little bit of time until Maggie gets back, I want to read something out that I found very profound. This was actually from a movie known as The Call of Cthulhu. The Call of Cthulhu was a black and white film. And it was one of those films that really make you think about certain things, especially with some of the quotes you can take from the movie. And one of the quotes was, "The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate its contents." Okay, now did you get that? The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate its contents. So in other words, the inability to basically pull together all of those thoughts and your contents of the mind is probably a merciful thing, given that we have so many sheep on the planet. There's no other way of saying it. Boy, it goes on to say, someday the piecing together of disassociated knowledge will open such terrifying vistas of reality. Remember what vista means. It means views in Italian. Someday the piecing together of disassociated knowledge will open such terrifying vistas of reality and our frightful position therein that we shall either go mad from the revelation or flee from the deadly light to the peace and safety of a new dark age. The peace and safety of a new dark age. And I can't help but think that that's the way we're heading a lot of the time these days. Now, again, I am just briefly filling in for Maggie at the present time. At the last moment, her microphone decided not to work and she's trying to work out whether it's Skype itself or whether it's the microphone. But as soon as she messages me and lets me know that she's willing, ready to come back in, I will bring her back into the studio and we will continue the show accordingly. Now, we're going to be talking about a few things. Maggie said we'd probably be talking about the fact that, you know, I've come back to air. I do Two's Company, Three's Allowed from 12 a.m. EST in America until 3 a.m. EST. And I'm very happy with the results, given the fact that nobody really knew I was coming back until the last moment. And we ended up with quite a good listenership on the first night. And also we took to the heavens when it came to TalkStream Live. So I was very, very happy about that. And I do thank all of my regular listeners that have been listening to me on and off now for years. I did take a break from being on air and for a few reasons I don't really need to go into, some personal, some not so personal, but I don't really need to go into those. The fact is now I am doing the show again here on the Orion Talk Radio Network, and well, I've really been enjoying it. Radio is a very big part of my life, and it will continue to be a big part of my life. I used to listen to a lot of radio when I was a child. through my teenage years and everything like that. And I was always political minded, or for a lot of the time I was political minded, especially once I reached about 17 years of age. My brother introduced me to certain things that led me further into wanting to spread the information that I understood and the knowledge that I understood. And that's where it all stemmed from. And I've met some really great people along the way. Maggie Rodden, Jimmy X, you know, all of those that come with it. You know, and it has really been a journey. It's been a great journey to sort of walk the line of radio, because not only do you not meet interesting people, one of the things I found was that when you actually become a host of a radio show, you find yourself in a predicament, because where you would once read up on certain things to try and get to know life a little better, when you do a show, if you get something wrong, you're going to be taken to task. So you have to really keep stay on the ball with what information you're going to be presenting. There have been times in the past that have been very challenging, where basically, if you, like, for instance, I was talking about how the Nazis used fluoride in the water, and then I was taken to task on that in Facebook, where somebody said, actually, that's been debunked. Try and find one reliable source. Now, many hosts out there can talk about that until they're black and blue in the face, about how these Nazis used fluoride in the water. But show me a reliable source. Okay, show me a reliable source. One of the first articles that were written, about fluoride being in the water due to the Nazis to have their prisoners conform, if you will, to bow down to their every rule, was Prison Planet. Now, this is the thing. They referenced a book, and I don't have the name of it in front of me, but they referenced a book saying that it was this book that actually shows that Nazis used fluoride in the water. Well, I searched that book high and low, and there was not a mention. This was a PDF file where you can do a search for the word fluoride. There was not even a mention of fluoride, let alone the Nazis putting fluoride in the water. And I am yet to find anybody or anything that can reference me to showing me that the Nazis indeed used fluoride in the water. So you really do have to be very careful in the fact that you, if you're going to speak about something on air, you have to make perfectly sure that you have your information correct. Because if you don't, you will be taken to task. And that's sort of kept me true. That's kept me true to myself. And I do believe that we have Maggie Rodden right here with us now. Do we have you there, Mags?
I sure hope so. I'm telling you. See, I was mesmerized by the thrill of doing dishes. And so, unlike a good Girl Scout, of which I was never a good Girl Scout, I didn't bother to check to see if all systems were go before I just thought, well, I'll just la-di-da, just get on the air. Needless to say, it ain't working, so I had to get another computer to get onto this, and you know how that crap goes. So it reminds me of Mad Dog Morrison. It's a teacher I had.
Oh, there
Mad
we go.
Dog. Yeah. Mad Dog said, listen, when you assume anything, it makes an ass of you and me. And she was right then.
Yeah.
And she's right today. And that was like 30 years ago, I guess. So, yep. Absolutely. See, you should never assume anything. You should be prepared. And I'm not a Boy Scout. I wasn't prepared. So, anyway, here we are.
Here we are. And Maggie, I was just wondering before we catch this break that's coming up, I wonder if Mad Dog Morrison derives from Mad Dog Morgan, which was a bush ranger over here in Australia.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I'm telling you, she was something else, that broad. She truly was. But she was a good teacher, though, honestly.
Yeah.
She really was. She demanded perfection, and there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, I couldn't hear anything of what you were saying before you connected me in, Sean. So what are we talking about? I suggested before everything got screwed up. Well, I'll tell you what my suggestion is when we come back. How's that sound?
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, that'll be keeping everybody waiting with bated breath, right? Absolutely. Don't breathe for 3 minutes. There you go. We're back in three, kids. Don't change that dial. Hey, everybody, we're back. This is Maggie Rodden and Sean Surplus from Two's Company, Three's Allowed on Saturday nights here on Orion Talk Radio. Midnight, East Coast time. Midnight to what? Two or three are you doing, Sean?
That's midnight until 3 a.m. on the Sunday morning, actually, Maggie, but it's 11 p.m. for the people in the Central Standard Time area.
Okay, so 11 Central, midnight East Coast, which is midnight, like 11:59 p.m. Saturday night. In another minute, you're going to hit Sean's show. So we don't confuse anybody. So it's actually 12:01 a.m., very early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, so just so people know, because sometimes people get confused with all that crap, you know, since you're in that land down under down there, you know, we got to drag you out, right? So anyway,
Yeah.
Why the hell do they call it the land down under anyway, Sean?
Because apparently we're upside down, but you to me, Maggie, are upside down right now. So, I mean, look, I mean, who's the right way up and who's the right way where and how and why? You know, I mean, one of the things they say is, you know, that Sean, you know, you're in the land down under. And I say, hold on a second. We're a day ahead of you. We're in the future. So who's really behind here?
Yeah, there you go. What are you under, the equator? I mean, what the hell are they talking about? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah, so what were you saying? I missed you the first few minutes of my show, so I'm glad we had a rate for you to be on. Otherwise, it would have been dead silence.
We would have had some dead air, that's for sure.
Yeah, really.
Oh, boy, you know, this is what you have to put up with, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to live radio. You just don't know what's going to come around. But, Maggie, I was actually just telling the ladies and gentlemen that you were actually going to be talking briefly about that I have come back to air. And I said that, you know, that for a few personal reasons, I was away for a little while, but now I'm back and have been going on, just continuing my journey in radio, which was pretty much what I was talking about before we finally got you back into the studio.
Oh, good. Okay, good, because people need to tune in. I was listening to you last night.
Yeah.
Excellent show, of course, as always, as it always was. Are you that lady you had on with you before, and I don't remember her name, you going to add her back into the mix? You guys going to continue where you left off there, or no plans, or?
Yeah, actually, Tara Beth, she's probably the one you're talking about that did the PARS Hour with me, the Party of Anti-Zionists Hour. And what happens is she's had a few technical difficulties of late, not to mention she's a little busy. But the way we've rigged the show now is if she is indeed able to come to the table to either do a pre-recorded interview or a pre-recorded segment or even come to the show live, then in a flexible way, I can play an intro that will introduce the PARS, what we call the PARS report. So we no longer actually have the PARS hour. She won't be sticking around for an hour, but she will be maybe one or two segments in the show to talk about the Party of Anti-Zionists.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, I just thought I'd check, see what you were cooking, what the agenda was, if there was an agenda.
There's always an agenda, Maggie. There's always an agenda.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, for some people there is. Not for everybody, though, I don't think. Well, of course, all have agendas or objectives. Difference.
Yes, agenda, that's right.
Agenda is a sinister-sounding word, I think, with some sinister connotations in it. Objectives to get the truth out there is something entirely different, which many people rail against, actually. Even people in, I guess you could call us, we're in a truth movement. Wouldn't you say we're kind of supposed to be in a truth movement here, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, a freedom movement, a truth movement. I mean, it's very, a lot of people title it their own way, but I would say it's a bit of both. We're trying to do the best to find the truth that we possibly can, and at the same time, we're trying to be free of tyranny. So I don't know that anybody can really be totally free per se. I mean, you're always going to have a next door neighbor that's going to tell you to turn your music down. So, I mean, you're not ever going to be totally free in that sense, but I think that we are searching for freedom against tyrannical governments, that's for sure, and we're definitely trying to find the truth.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And so, you know, the one thing that I've come to the realization of, and I'm like 55 years old, Sean, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like this, I got clued into these things 35 years ago. I didn't. I mean, I always figured something was wrong in the sense that, you know, the crooks ran the show. I knew that, you know, but I thought, well, they're just, you know, one crook against the other kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't realize there was this sinister plot that had been hatched and had been was being executed, this plot being executed over centuries that was taking place. And the only reason why you know these things is you've got to do the research with the limited information that's accessible out there, because these bastards have done a marvelous job of erasing the true history from our history. And so you know, I think you have to be willing to turn over every rock, as unpalatable as that is, and you need to take a look at and listen to voices that you would have, for a variety of reasons, considered you would never have given them the time of day, because they've been labeled, and I've got this on the main page of my website. They use these labels, Sean, and you know this as well as I do, racist, hater, anti-Semite, homophobe, bigot, xenophobe, white supremacist, Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews, as a weapon against you to keep you from looking for answers or examining things or listening to other voices than the crap we've been listening to our whole life. And so
absolutely,
you know, people need to do that, especially people in this truth movement or freedom movement or whatever you want to label it as, especially those people, because you don't know what you don't know. And there's a lot of people out there who don't know. They believe that the history they've been told is the truth, and it isn't. It's one big lie.
It really is, Maggie, and you hit the nail on the head in every way, shape, and form there. And one of the most important things you said is that, you know, that they've really executed this plan very well. It's the perfect plan. You know, for those people out there that say, I'm never going to give them credit where credit is due, you really have to if you want to respect thy enemy, because it is the perfect plan, and they've executed this this perfect plan perfectly. And if you don't respect that, then you will never be able to fight against it. We have to understand that these are brilliant-minded people. It may only be a select few families, but they are brilliant-minded people, and they know exactly what they're doing, when to do it, and how to do it. And if you don't respect it, and if you don't stand in front of it and say, you know what, I have to admit that these people are brilliant as much as I despise them, then we're going to end up in a lot of trouble. That's a very, very good point.
Well, that's absolutely right. So you can't say, well, you're railing against the New World Order. Well, who is the New World Order? Who's pushing this agenda? Who are they? What are their affiliations? What have they been doing in a clandestine fashion for decades and 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 decades? And if you think that they haven't controlled the history that you've been exposed to from day one on, you're deluding yourself. And you can call... Absolutely. You're lying to yourself, because the people who are trying to bring this information to you aren't deniers. They're exposers, because they're exposing the lies. It's you, because you've been preconditioned to believe the bullshit. And I know I shouldn't swear, but it's appropriate right now. You've been conditioned to believe this crap your whole life. Therefore, the first response out of your mouth is they're this, they're that, they're the other thing. Please, please get your head out of your rectum. They're not anything except exposing facts to you that you heretofore have never heard and have lived in denial, because you've been brainwashed to be in denial of these things.
Exactly, Maggie. And you said something very important before we came to air. You said they're revealers. These people are revealing what's going on. And I wholeheartedly agree. We're revealing these people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This isn't revising anything. The truth, our history has been revised already. That's what you've been fed. It's been revised from the truth to a lie, and what you've been fed is a lie. We've been conned, hook, line, and sinker our whole life. And so to sit there and say, oh, well, that can't be true. Really? It can't be true? You mean to tell me everything you've been told by these lying, thieving SOBs hasn't been a lie? And you think because you know one thing's a lie, like 9/11 was an inside job, you don't think they'd lie about anything else in history, too? Because who is it, Sean, said the bigger the lie you tell, the better, because then the damn fools will believe it even more?
Well, it becomes truth. I mean, the more you tell a lie, the more it becomes truth. Isn't that weird? I mean, it doesn't become true truth, but people start to believe it as truth. If you spill a lie long enough, Maggie, people do start to believe it. Anybody can go out and do the test themselves. You know, we just have to take a look at the medical industry, and the lies that they've spun for so long has become truth. Okay,
yeah.
It's become the truth of, and I hate to sound condescending, but it's become truth of the dullards, the people that won't look past their mainstream media, the people that won't look past their idiot box. You tell a lie long enough, sooner or later, they start to believe it, and they'll follow hook, line, and sinker. It's the Hegelian dialectic. Hegel was a man, as I was saying last night on the show, Maggie, that said and wholeheartedly believed, due to his research, that we are the product of a system created for us, whether it be through the mainstream media or government or both. And I think it is both. I think what the government do is they say, okay, we form an idea because the masters of puppets want us to form that idea. Okay, so at the top of the pyramid, you've got these people, the masters of the puppets. Then you've got the puppets of the masters, which are the government, that follow the idea of the masters of the puppets. Okay, keep up with me, people. And then what happens is the government says, all right, we're going to create this system. And then the people, automatically being governed by that government, become governed in that way. So therefore, they become the product of that government. They become whatever that government says they should become. Okay, so we're going to have a system where we will put fluoride in the water because fluoride is good for your teeth. Well, because it was seen on the mainstream media, the government was using the long arm of the mainstream media to say that fluoride is good for human beings. Well, it must be true, Maggie. So the way we become this rotted teeth, enamel breaking down part of society, it, totally and free willing. In all free will, we do it ourselves. We just bow down to it because we are the product of that Hegel idea. We are the product of what our government and the long arm of the media tell us. That's what we become. And we've got to break away from that. We've got to become freed from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you don't realize you're in bondage. We are in bondage to these lies. We really are. They have placed us in bondage because of the lies that they've convinced us to believe. And unless we are willing to shake off those chains, to break away from that bondage by examining things we would never have examined before, that we would never have given the time of day to different voices that are out there that have been lone voices in the wilderness, screaming for us, crying for us to take note. Hark, listen, pay attention. We've not listened to them because we have been deluded by the lies, and we continue to lie to ourselves. Continue to.
Yeah.
And that's such a deadly thing to do, because if you are unwilling to go down all the rabbit holes, not just the 9/11 rabbit hole, but every single rabbit hole down there, that every event that's taken place in history, you need to examine it with a fine-tooth comb. You need to get out the magnifying glass. You're going to continue in the illusion that they've created.
Yeah, exactly, Maggie. I couldn't have said it better myself. And look, we are our own worst enemies at times. We really are, because we do hear what's going on in the media, and then we go out and spout the same crap that they do. And of course, we then become the government. We are now governing other people. When I walk out the front and I start screaming about oh, you know, anybody who speaks about Jews is anti-Semitic, rah, rah, rah. I'm doing the work for the government. It doesn't matter that Israel are culling the Palestinians in such great numbers. That has to be ignored because my government told me so. And then I walk out there and I parrot it as well. You know, it's not the government and it's not martial law that would worry me in this country, at least, Maggie. Even your country, it's not martial law and that would worry me so much as what it would be the masses coming down on top of me when the proverbial crap hits the fan. Because the masses have been taught, this is what you should believe about religion. This is what you should believe about philosophy. This is what you should believe about politics. And if you go against any of it, you will either, one, be persecuted by the masses, and you will. They can literally destroy everything you stand for by coming out and screaming anti-Semitic or, as you said, racist and hater and all of this other crap, this nonsense, or you will be put in prison. Take a look at Brendan O'Connell over here in Australia, Maggie, was going against the Jews, the Jewish Israel, because of the culling of the Palestinians, and he was thrown in prison for 3 years. Now, in retrospect, I guess you could say, he was thrown in prison for talking.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. For talking or questioning or voicing his objection to things certain people are doing. Now, here's another thing, too, and I always make sure that this distinction is put out there because so many people, you're not allowed to say anything against certain groups. It's like if you criticize Barack Obama, you must be a racist. No, I don't have anything against Barack Obama because of the color of his skin. I don't like his policies. He's a communist. I don't like communism. That's what I have a problem with. It doesn't have to do with the color of his skin. He could be white. He could be a Hispanic. He'd still suck, and I'd still feel the same way. It has nothing to do with the color of his skin. But that's what they'll say to you, won't they? So if you criticize him, you must be a racist. It couldn't be because you have an objection to what it is he's doing.
Oh, Maggie, you've got to stop this. You've got to stop this. You're making too much logical sense, and, you know, we're going to have to put you away for it, you know. You really shouldn't be making so much sense, Maggie. This is not making any sense in the world of Idiocracy, and that's where we are right now.
Well, yeah, it is. It is the world of Idiocracy. It's just astounding to me. It's like the whole anti-Semitism card. You can't criticize anything related to what any Jew is doing, otherwise you're an anti-Semite. This couldn't be more crap.
I know, right? You can walk out on the street right now, Maggie, and you can scream high and bloody murder about the Christians. But the moment that you go out there, nothing will be done if you scream high and bloody murder about the Christians. But the moment you walk out there on the road and you start screaming about Jews, it's automatically like, anti-Semitic! You know, it's just ridiculous. It's a double standard.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And so that double standard, you need to say, wait a second, why does that double standard exist? Where are we going here? What rabbit hole are we going now when we start to look at that double standard, Sean? Because it's another rabbit hole, and it's another tool used to stop you from doing your research, stop you from listening to voices who are trying to tell you something's going on here. Pay attention. Pay attention. But, you know, people are stopped by labels. They're afraid of being called all these different labels that they put out there. And, of course, they know this toolbox. They have this little toolbox that they carry around with them. You know, use this weapon, use that weapon. It's a tool. It's a weapon. It's their little arsenal of lies that they have constructed. So brilliantly, as you say, these people aren't stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. And, you know, Dr. Carly always talks about them being psychopaths. And they probably really are, in a sense. They truly are psychopathic because, Sean, a normal person doesn't want to kill off 85% of humanity. A normal person doesn't seek total control over the rest of the world.
Yeah, like Bill Gates, huh? How about his grid where he was actually saying that we really shouldn't be – in his own words, though, I mean, don't quote me verbatim, but in his own words, he was basically saying we really don't need to be fussing over the elderly so much because, you know, we do need population control. When he was saying certain things like that, Jimmy X and I reported on that on Radio X, and we were floored, Maggie. We could not believe it. But this is what these tyrants think. They don't care for the human life. They don't care for human life at all, except out inside of their bloodlines and their families. Outside of that, they don't care who dies, and they will do anything in their power to become the, I guess you could say, the domination over the entire world. They've made it perfectly clear, as I say all the time. David D. Rothschild, during the Copenhagen nonsense when it came to global warming, where they were trying to get that global carbon tax, he said straight out, you know, it's very hard to get this global governance agenda sort of activated. We've got to act on the low-hanging fruit. Now, you remember that, Maggie, because I can remember you playing that clip on your show and you speaking about it. And you know, everything you said about it was so spot on. But it's to this day, you can put it right there in people's faces. And it doesn't matter how many of us are trying to get out there and reveal these tyrannical dictators of fascism and communism. It doesn't matter how much we say it, even when it's on their mainstream media, most people just don't get it, Maggie. And there was a philosopher that actually said once, you know, the person, and I don't have his name, but the person that does not sort of take a look at his inner self is the person that's already destroyed. If you don't take a look at the inner self and you don't get to start to understand yourself, you will never understand what's going on externally within the world, because you really haven't taken the time to question yourself. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Philosophically, religiously, or whatever. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And I think this is why we are in the dire straits we're in, because nobody questions all of those important things, because they don't question what and who they are.
Oh, absolutely. So you really got to take a look at yourself, and then you've got to look at yourself in relation to the rest of the world, and then you've got to look at yourself in relation to everything you've been told about the rest of the world, and you got to say, does this jive? Does this match what I'm seeing right in front of me? I mean, here's the thing. Like, you're talking about what these people, Rothschild said, what they need to do, call, go after the low-hanging fruit, because that's what they're doing here in this nation, and I'm sure down in yours as well, Sean. I mean, they're picking off the least resistors, the people with the least ability to resist them. That's where they're going. They're going into the rural areas right now and starting to scrape the people off the land by denying them the right to use their water, denying them the right to have chickens, raise a garden, you know. Locking up a guy for 30 days because he was collecting rainwater in his pond on his own property. And it's illegal now to collect rainwater. I mean, hello, America. Are you understanding where these people are going? They're going to kill you. And so saying, oh, well, we can't talk about that. You're a Holocaust denier. You're a hater. You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're this. You're that. Please get your heads out of your collective rectum, because they want you not to examine all the crap they've told you purposefully, because if you examine it, you're going to identify them. It all leads to the same place. All paths lead to Rome, don't they, Sean?
They really do, Maggie. They really do. You know, sustainable development through gradualism. That's what this is all about. Over here in Australia for many years now, ladies and gentlemen, we have had a tax on our ponds, what you call a pond, what we call a dam. And a dam is just like a small pond that sits in a paddock or a field where the sheep and the cows can go and drink the water from that dam. Now, what happens is anything 18 inches if the water is 18 inches deeper, we can be taxed for that water. And this has been going on for so many years over here, Maggie. And this is why I've always said on the show that if it comes to Australia, it's sooner or later going to come to America. And indeed, as you've just showed, Maggie, it has come to America. And this is why Australia pretty much is the future. We're not just a day ahead, but we're leaps and bounds ahead when it comes to years of fascism, communism, and also, I guess you could say, the nanny state. So the nanny state that we are, just be prepared for it over there. You're already losing your freedom of speech, okay? The Second Amendment is being challenged because of the Barack Obama government. And it doesn't matter whether it's Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, just like over here in Australia. You know, they're two cheeks of the same ass, if I can say that. And, you know, this we've got to escape this. We've got to get all of these incumbents out that are using this ridiculous tyranny upon us and vote people in that are going to, or insert people into politics that are going to look after us as people.
You know, it's like Pavlov's dog, Sean. I hear the cue music, so listen, I'll take that up when we come back. 3 minutes, Sean from Two's Company, Three's Allowed, here on Sunday morning, 12:01 a.m. to 3 a.m. every Sunday. Two's Company, Three's Allowed. Sean Surplus is on with me today. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't change that dial. We're coming back. everybody. We're back. It's Maggie Rodden, and I'm joined by Sean Surplus, host of Two's Company, Three's Allowed, here on Orion Talk Radio Network, Sunday morning, 12:01 a.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I have no idea what time that is where he is, but...
That's actually 2 p.m. 2 p.m. my time, Maggie. It starts at 2 p.m. and finishes at 5 p.m.
What time zone are you in? What's the time zone?
Australian Eastern Standard Time, which is AEST. Yep, yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, since we were on break and I went and got coffee and totally forgot what the hell the point was I was going to make when we went to break, I don't know what I was going to say, Sean. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I wasted some of mine in my younger days. I was doing a lot of mind wasting stuff, Sean.
Believe me, Maggie, I'm still indulging in that mind wasting stuff. Now, I won't wax into detail on that one. But yeah. One thing I can say, Maggie, you were talking about earlier, you know, how they're trying to tell us what we can eat and how we can drink and everything like that. You were also talking during the break about how we should probably talk on, you know, any more than 18 inches deep when it comes to a dam here or a pond here, what you know as a pond, we get taxed for. Now, they try to deny it left, right and centre, but the Aboriginal community are the ones to go to understand this, because the Aboriginal community understand that although we do get taxed via these ponds, if it's anything more than 18 inches deep is what you're going to be taxed on for that water. The Aboriginals understand that they don't get taxed for it. This is our so-called equal government, Maggie.
Yeah,
equal
government. Social justice. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, our social justice. Yep.
Well, you're a racist. You just are.
Of course.
A racist,
of course.
You're a racist,
yep,
and
yep.
You're a hater, and you're a bigot, and let's see. Yeah. You must be a white supremacist, too. There you go. Four of them.
I really am
the cards apply to you. Yeah, there you go, huh?
I'm telling you, I've never seen so many double standards. They sit there, Maggie, and they say, well, Sean, you have to treat everybody equally. I say, oh, okay, cool. No worries. But then all of a sudden, they say, well, hold on a second. We're just going to give this Aborigine a free car. Oh, well, hold on a second. What about my son? How come he doesn't get a free car? Well, he's white. Oh, hold on. You want me to be equal?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, absolutely. See, and here you go. Now, if you expose these things, we're talking about these things. You and I, when we would talk together before you had left Orion for a while, when we'd talk candidly on Jimmy X's show or on my show, you know, we talk candidly about these things. This isn't because we're racists or haters or bigots or anti-Semites. It isn't every member of a group that is perpetuating or promoting or advancing this agenda. It is a handful of people out of a group that are doing these things. It isn't painting a broad brush for every single person as guilty. That's absolutely nonsense. Mm. But if you don't speak out about these things, Sean, if you don't say, wait a second, this social justice crap, I gave a presentation in North Jersey a few weeks ago, and my focus when I talked about UN Agenda 21 was the whole social justice. I talked about the whole thing, but I really hammered home this so-called social justice crap because people need to understand where this is going, and they don't understand where this is going, and not in this country where we've been deluded, wave an American flag and say that American do no wrong and we're the liberators and we're bringing democracy to the Middle East and blah, 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 blah. You know.
Yeah. And going on the UN Agenda 21, Maggie, as you and I have spoken about that at length behind the scenes, but one of the things that is a common misconception over here in Australia is that many people say, hey, hold on a second, and this relates to what you were saying about how they tell us what we can eat and things of that nature. They say, hold on a second, Sean, we are a part of the UN Agenda 21, but how can you say that we're a part of Codex Alimentarius? This also relates to, you know, being taxed with the ponds and stuff like that. And I say every time, I say, well, of course it relates to Codex Alimentarius, because we're a part of the World Trade Organization. Now, although it is separate to UN Agenda 21, it's exactly the same sort of policies. Now, as long as you are a part of the World Trade Organization, you're a part of Codex Alimentarius. And Maggie, as you know, if they deem certain things that you're going to be growing in your backyard as poison, even if they're not, they can just break your door down, walk through your house, confiscate anything they want on the basis that you may be poisoning yourself or other people with parsley. This is what Codex Alimentarius is all about. It's about saying, right, this is what we will tell you what you can and what you cannot grow. And I have so many Australians say to me, but we're not a part of the I've looked up Codex Alimentarius. What makes you think that we're a part of it? Because we're a part of the World Trade Organization, and that's everything to do with Codex Alimentarius. We've got no way out of it. This is worldwide. This is not just America, England, Germany, Switzerland, and France and wherever else. It's everywhere when it comes to Western civilization, which is worldwide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is what people don't understand. In fact, a friend of mine, we were talking about, she was talking about some village they're building up. She moved to Florida. And she was talking about this village now that they're going to build up this nearby her. And she said, gee, I'm going to have to look for another country. And I'm thinking to myself, I look for another country. You already know there is no country to go to get away from this crap. It's going on everywhere. If you do, and I'm trying to figure out how to get this these Google alerts to go right onto my website, Sean. If you do a Google alert and have it dump into your mailbox, your email, and I suggest people do this just so they'll get the full flavor of what it is we're talking about. Do a Google alert on comprehensive planning. Do a Google alert on sustainable development, social justice, the kinds of things that you'll see that'll pop into your email all over the world. The poor people living in some east nowhere, some country in Africa, they're driving them off their land as well. It isn't just, I mean, you'd think who would be living a more basic rudimentary lifestyle than some nomadic tribe down in one of the nations of Africa, Sean? Who's living Who's living greener than these people?
Yeah, I know, right? And, you know, there's no such thing as property rights anymore, Maggie. You know that. I know that. It's unfortunate that there's some people out there, even some hosts these days, that say, we have to fight for our property rights. We don't have any property rights any further. They will try their best to get you off that land as much as they possibly can. Take a look at all the suicides that took place here in Australia because farmers could no longer survive on their land because of all these different taxes. Take a look at how certain men were being told that they couldn't clear their land. Peter Spencer, if anybody wants to take reference with what I'm saying, take a look at Peter Spencer, where he was told he could not clear the trees off his land because they needed those trees to fight global warming and all this other nonsense. And of course, what happened to him? He hoists himself up in a tree or a thing like a tree and basically says, I'm going to starve myself because I've got nothing to live for. If I can't clear that land, I need compensation. It's within the Australian Constitution that says I should get compensation if I cannot clear the land. However, he was not allowed to do it. They went. Kevin Rudd, the acting Prime Minister at the time, Maggie, went against his own constitution and did not compensate this gentleman. He ended up losing his house and he had to move his family into cheaper real estate. It was just unbelievable it's unbelievable what goes on within Western civilization these days.
Yeah. And I had mentioned to you, I know my friend Don Casey and Ken Freeman, who I've never had Ken on my show, but the both of them, Alliance for it's keepourrights.org. I've linked to it on my main page of my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com. On the right hand side, there's a bunch of links, and to Keep Our Rights is one of them. And that'll take you to Alliance for Citizens' Rights or something, I think is the name of their organization. But Don and Ken are down in Australia right now as we speak. Someone had invited them to come down there to talk about what was going on with this assault on property rights. You're right. You said we don't have rights, and we don't. It's just that the people haven't figured it out yet. See those war drums, those distant drums that are beating in the neighborhood that just hasn't come to your house yet.
That's right.
Yep. It's out in the distance, though. It's hit some other places. It might not have knocked on your door yet for you to get the full effect, for you to truly comprehend that these rights are gone. They're an illusion. We're wrapping ourselves in this illusion because we don't want to grasp the facts of reality that are right there in front of us. We are in denial.
Yeah, we really are. We are in denial, and we need to take, as you said earlier, we need to take our head out of our collective rectums and start doing a bit of research to understand what rights we do and what we don't have. Work especially on the rights we don't have, because they are the rights we should have. Always work on the rights we don't have, because they are the rights we should have.
Absolutely.
The government have always worked that way. Let's take away this right. Let's take away that liberty. Let's do this. Let's do that. Whenever you don't have a right to do a certain thing that is way within your bounds, they're the ones you should be working on. Not the ones that you already have, but the ones that we've already lost.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we're running out of time here, Sean. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Maggie. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Listen, we're going to Oz. Let's go to Oz, Sean, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Listen, everybody, we're going to Oz. Somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Chin up, because we have people like Sean in the world who are fighting for you and I. Don't forget, it's only the truth that will set you free. So don't be afraid of the truth. Seek it out. Listen, this
is
up tomorrow and another great show. Them Canadian boys are on after me, so hang in there. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern time. I'll be back. Hey, chin up, everybody. Take care.